We're going to hear from a number of faith leaders, along with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle and Governor Pritzker there as well. And so it's just underway. Let's get underway here.
Spirits that we have gathered here today. This building is a result of turning a moment of tragedy into an opportunity for triumph. Over 13 years ago, my baby sister Cleo, Yolande Barrett, a Cook County Deputy Sheriff, fell victim to gun violence. And today we are gathered in this beautiful residential building that bears her name to try to turn another moment of tragedy into an opportunity for triumph. Over these senseless killings of black men like George Floyd and women all over this country, a healing needs to take place in this divided country, and we're going to pray right now to open up this conference. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts and with joyful spirits. We are thankful for your grace that has befriended us and thankful for your mercy that has extended us. And because of your grace and mercy, we come vowing to become more academic during this coronavirus pandemic. More academic to learn more ways to strengthen our relationship with you so that we may serve you better and be more of a fervent servant to you by being a better blessing to all mankind. We thank you for the blessing this city of Chicago, this county of Cook, and this state of Illinois, with the splendid leadership of Cardinal Blaise Cupich, the universal countywide Cook political leadership of President Tony Preckwinkle, and the statewide skillful and bold leadership of Governor J.B. Pritzker. We ask that you bless their efforts to blend their social, political, and spiritual skill for the betterment of the citizens of the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, and the county of Cook. I pray that you will touch the hearts and anoint the minds of those of us who will choose to dedicate ourselves to work harmoniously with them in all of their endeavors so that we can present you a united, peaceful agenda to unite this state and heal this country. I pray, Lord, to let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. I ask these blessings in the name and in the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now it is my pleasure to introduce the president of the Cook County Board, President Tony Preckwinkle.
Tony Preckwinkle coming to the podium. This event is taking place at the Clio Arts Residences in the 5500 block of South Michigan.
I'm grateful to be joined by so many distinguished folks, and I want to acknowledge them. Before I get to the speakers, let me acknowledge first and foremost Pastor T.L. Barrett. It's his congregation that supported this affordable housing development. I came, I think, to the grand opening last summer, and we're very pleased that you were able to host us. Thank you very much, Pastor Barrett. An old friend, Reverend Leslie Sanders. Where did he go? There we are. We're grateful that you joined us. Melanie Winston, on behalf of Pastor Bill Winston, thank you for joining us. Pastor Fleshman. There we are. Pastor Fleshman from the Southland Ministerial Healthcare Network. Thank you for joining us. Del Reese Adams. Where are you, Del Reese? Head of our Justice Advisory Council. Thank you. And now, of course, I'm grateful for our speakers, Governor Pritzker, Cardinal Cupich, Apostle Carl White, Jamal Cole of My Block, My Hood, My City, and Princess Shaw, a North Lawndale community activist. Thank you all for joining us. This is a troubling moment in our nation's history. During a pandemic, the worst healthcare crisis in 100 years, over 100,000 people have died, and 40 million people in our nation have filed for unemployment. The murder of George Floyd at the hands of the Minneapolis police was a spark that ignited protests there in Minneapolis and across the nation. This murder, this casual, routine murder at the hands of the police, caused an uproar because it was routine. We've seen this before too many times. Black and Latinx and indigenous people across the country have been murdered at the hands of the police, here in Chicago and across the country. George Floyd's murder, this racist, preventable death, was nothing new. And the violence that erupted afterwards is also tragically not new. We must seize this moment and try to bring freedom and justice to every American. But we cannot do this by destroying our communities. We cannot do this by decimating what makes our black and brown communities so strong, so close-knit, even in the face of decades, generations of racist government policies and disinvestment. I'm joined today by Governor Pritzker, by Cardinal Cupich, by faith leaders and activists to urge you to protect our communities. What happened over the past few days in so many parts of Chicago and throughout the county is heartbreaking. Indeed, let us heed Dr. King's call to action, direct action, and peacefully protest this murder. The right to peaceful protest is enshrined in our Constitution. I've marched with many of you. I've marched with Black Lives Matter. I've marched with striking workers. The right to peaceful assembly and protest is one of the most central, one of the most noble tenets of our democracy. I cherish it because it continues to teach me what will truly help this country heal, to find a way forward. I'm very grateful to Governor J.B. Pritzker for his help and support in ordinary times and his leadership in this extraordinary time. Governor Pritzker?
Thank you very much, President Preckwinkle. Thanks for inviting me to be here with you today and for putting this together. And to the faith and community leaders that are here with us, I am so grateful to stand with you and to share in your vision of our path forward, because we must find a way forward. I do not pretend to know the pain that's experienced by Black America. The pain of knowing that what happened to George Floyd could happen to you or to your child. But I do know that at this moment, so many people are overwhelmed here in the state of Illinois with rage and with passion and with sorrow. That's why, as we look for a way forward, as we look to reform our laws and our system of justice, the leadership that's here today and across the state is so important. Community activism and peaceful organizing and faith must help show the way. We must allow people room to process the grief and to heal so that we can all sustain our resolve for change. The path ahead will not be easy. It never is, because long-standing systems don't shift on their own. But this is necessary work, as articulated eloquently by so many of this weekend's peaceful demonstrations in communities all across Illinois, across this nation. Real change, structural change, comes from protest paired with policy. That means police reform with genuine investigations, transparency, and accountability. That means taking the justice in criminal justice and making it mean something. That means sustained economic investment in black and brown communities across our state. Activism is critical, and it will take activism plus action to build ourselves into the state, into the nation that we must strive to become. In Deuteronomy, God implores us, justice, justice shall you pursue. And so we must. And now I'd like to call on Cardinal Supich.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you, President Preckwinkle, for the invitation to be here with you today. Last week, we had a death in the family. Our brother George was murdered. We should mourn. We should be angry and hurt. But we also should heed the wishes of the Floyd family and not dishonor this gentle memory by spreading the sickness of violence. Rather, we need peaceful action to stop the hatred that has ended the lives of countless black Americans. There is power in peace. Nonviolence has toppled empires and corrected injustice, and it can work again. Remember, mercy is not weakness. Cruelty is not strength. But peaceful action also means justice, setting things right, which is where any discussion of a proportionate response must start. Melodious and smooth words will not do. We urgently need to reform the laws that underpin the organized oppression of establishment of exclusion. We have to pass legislation that guarantees equal opportunity for employment and access to quality education and health care. But better policies and reforms will only be as effective as the conversion of hearts. For what lives in the hearts of those who make and enforce our laws matters as much as the laws themselves. We know there is a contagion spreading across the land. Not only the coronavirus, but racism. And we can stop it. And that begins by making the unwavering commitment today to cleanse our hearts so that it will not infect our homes and our children. And there is no room for bystanders in this moment because this virus threatens us all. Racism is the red thread that runs through the binding that holds America back from reaching its promise, equality and justice for all. Its cost can be measured in lost educational attainment, poor health care outcomes, diminished employment opportunity, but its greatest cost is a toll that it exacts on our national soul. That is why we must resolve to break this heartbreak, to turn this heartbreak into action. And people of faith need to take the lead, for we know that even the darkest deeds can be redeemed by love. And love is what is called for now. But it's not the love of transactional friendships and cheap associations made by the click of a mouse button or an easy retweet. Signpost solidarity will not do. Only the hard work of familiar love will set us on a path toward justice. The love that we read about in the scripture, the love God has for his children, for every one of us, even when we fail, especially when we fail. God knows how we can fail in our humanity, but even more, God knows how we can build it up. So let us show God. Let us show ourselves. Let us show our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, the ones that we know and the ones we will never meet, how deeply we can love. I'm pleased now to introduce Apostle Carl White.
You're listening to live coverage of a news conference from spiritual leaders in the city in reaction to the protests and violence in recent days on 720 WGN.
Of the Cook County Board, Tony Prebwinkle, to our governor, who is standing here with us. We appreciate all the work you've been doing. In March, when all of this pandemic began to start, our churches end up closing, and we went online. We found out that the devil had thought he had shut the church down, and he told God, "I've shut your church down." But God smiled and said, "Now I have one in every home," because we went online. We've been able to help people far beyond the walls of our local church. Then all of a sudden, here we come with another pandemic. George Floyd was killed. It was murder. We saw it. It incited all kinds of feelings in people. It caused us to look deeply into America, systemic racism. I came up in the 60s. My father was a civil rights person on the west side of Chicago. I watched Roosevelt Road burn because of all of the riots and the things that took place. And many of those places have never been rebuilt because the money was not put back in our community. I've experienced police brutality, marching for Black history at Harrison High School, saying that if you don't teach us about us, we're not learning about you. We should have been on the next page, but we were not in the book. And we had to come back to school at 10th period, and all of us had little jobs, and we had to quit those jobs to prove that we really wanted Black history. So systemic racism is deeply rooted, and police tend to treat us differently than they treat the white counterparts. So a lot of this rage has been locked up for a while. And what we're asking now is that you don't destroy your own communities, that you learn how to do it peacefully, and then let's do the things we need to do politically and socially to change the dynamics of our community. There's some good police, and there's some bad police. There's some good pastors and some bad pastors. There's some good politicians and some bad politicians. We all have to do our part to do what's right. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven and heal their land. Our land needs a healing, and we're seeking God for that, as well as seeking each other to show love to one another. I challenge our community. Let's not tear up where our seniors have to get medicine from Walgreens, where you have to get food. Those who don't have a car can't get to places. So we got to come together to help those people get food, get medicine, and see about our community. I challenge you that are listening today to come together for a healing of the land. And I bless you with love and happiness. I need to do some introduction now. I need to introduce Brother Jamal Cole, my block, my hood, my city, a fantastic young man.
Jamal Cole now, someone you've heard on the John Williams Show from time to time.
So there's a mom in our city that's on a block in a house raising four kids. She got a 15-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-month-old. She got a full-time job at the gas station down the block because the manager lets her bring her 3-month-old to work. She can't afford daycare. She get paid $500 every 2 weeks. That's what the gas station says in the budget, right? Her rent is $800 a month. Her light bill is $40 a month. Her gas bill is $100 a month. Because she live in a house, she got to pay the water bill. That's $100 a month. And her phone bill is $100 a month. She only make $1,000 a month. But the rent plus the lights and the gas and the water and the phone, that's $1,140. And that's not including the daily hiccups like the, I don't think y'all hear me. I said there's a mom in our city that's on a block in the house raising four kids. She got a 15-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-month-old. She got a full-time job at the gas station down the block because the manager let her bring her 3-month-old to work. She can't afford daycare. She get paid $500 every 2 weeks. That's what the gas station says in the budget. Her rent is $800 a month. Her light bill is $40 a month. Her gas bill is $100 a month. She lives in a house, so she got to pay the water bill. That's $100 a month. And her phone bill is $100 a month. She only makes $1,000 a month. But the rent plus the lights and the gas and the water and the phone, that's $1,140. That's not including the daily hiccups. She had a job, but y'all burnt it down. She don't got no job no more. Jamie, 15. Malachi, 7. Keela, she 5. Aaliyah, she only 3 months. What's she going to do? Hey, Jamie taking matters into his own hands now. The young men that stand in front of the corner store every morning, he talking to them now. Look, to all the young people listening right now, look, I don't want to devalue how y'all feeling. I know a lot of people right now say, hey, I understand how y'all feeling, but I understand how y'all feeling, but don't do this. Don't do that. I ain't going to say that. I'm going to say, I understand how y'all feeling, and there's a way that we can resist constructively. Busting up businesses like gas stations in your own community, that's not intelligent, right? These is gas stations and mom and pop shops that's supporting football teams and supporting basketball teams. These is gas stations and mom and pop shops that's supporting, they donate water to the school when they ain't got no air condition, right? They paying for newsletters for block clubs and community groups, right? Listen, there's a way to resist constructively. Also, there's a big difference between force and violence. Protesting peacefully is forceful. I don't know who's saying it's soft. Protesting peacefully is forceful. You can put pressure on institutions to address issues we care about. Force is very powerful. Violence, that's when you're violating somebody's property. That's not intelligent. Force can be powerful. Violence is always violent, right? I want to let the small business owners in Chicago know, please go to our website, formyblog.org. We know you're hurting right now. We have a small business relief fund, and we wanna support y'all right now. Help y'all with graffiti removal. Help y'all pick up some of that glass. Get some small contractors into these businesses, right? And the young people, if y'all wanna resist constructively, go to formyblog.org. We wanna hire 100 young people to help clean up these storefronts, to help fix some of this looting. Be a part of it. If you really wanna be an activist in Chicago, if you really want to change systems, I want you to ask yourself 15 words. If you want to be a leader in Chicago right now, listen, these 15 words will make you a politician in a few months, right? If you want to be a leader in your community, understand these 15 words I'm about to say to you. Write it down. I want you to ask yourself 15 words. Those 15 words are, what's something simple I can do that'll have a positive impact on my block? What's something simple I can do that'll have a positive impact on my block, right? And if you start with the simple things, I'm going to go get me a broom and a dustpan and go sweep up some of the glass. I'm gonna write a letter to my neighbor to see how they're doing. I'm going to make a phone call to a senior, see how they – what's something simple you can do to change everything? And if you start with the simple things, you can develop the muscle it takes to take on bigger challenges. Again, go to our website, formyblog.org. We're here to support y'all. And right now I want to introduce a third-generation North Lawndale resident, activist, a friend of mine, Princess Shaw. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. That's Mr. Jamal. That's going to be very hard to come behind there, young man. But yes, as he stated, I'm a third generation Lawndalian. When coming up, there was no North-South Lawndale. There was no East-West Garfield Park. But I'm out here every day, and I see the faces of these individuals that are looting and rioting and have really no direction. And I say it takes, as my grandparents told me when I was growing up, they seen the same exact thing happen, like the other young man said, in 1968. All of Roosevelt Road was burned down. All of Madison Street was, there used to be a gold blast on the corner of Madison and Pulaski. So that's why I said, and again, that's my word, third generation Lawndalian. I have two kids that I raised in Lawndale. Amongst the criminal activity, the turmoil that's going on, but this is generational. That's why I'm bringing this point up. This is something that happens decade after decade after decade, and I'm appealing to the young people now. Like, this is your chance to be able to stop this generational curse that's been going on for years and years and years. It's time to start rebuilding. We've seen enough tearing down. We've seen enough things being not enough for us or just barely getting us by, as Jamal was saying. That young lady, she needs some place to work. You have people that don't have any place. I have at least 15 seniors because the Walgreens on Roosevelt and Holman got looted are not going to have a way to get their medication. I'm going to see if I can pair up with some of these people here, but that's something exclusive. In our black communities, high blood pressure, diabetes are some of the biggest things that are deterrents that help kill us off early. So I'm just begging and pleading, can you please just think about a different way about going about this? There is a different way that we can do this. There's a different way that we can appeal to people and make them understand. We know you're angry. We know you're upset. This has been going on way too long. And then George Floyd was probably the breaking point, the last straw that broke the camel's back. But let it be the last straw that broke the camel's back in a positive way, something that we can do in order to attest to politicians.
You're listening to live coverage of a community outreach, a community news conference, including government leaders here on WGN Chicago.
Prior to this. So now I'm going to pass this back on over to our lovely and great president.
Thank you very much. Before I take questions, thank you, Princess. Before I take questions, I want to acknowledge David Jones and Jen McElroy, who are our sign language interpreters. And now we'll take your questions. We'll begin, Nick, in the room. And who's that? Yes?
John Garcia.
John Garcia, thank you. I don't recognize anybody in their masks, so you got to...
the question that I have that I would address to all of yourself and to anybody who would have a thought about it, but obviously this message of that the violence is not constructive and is counterproductive is coming from a lot of places. Does anybody have any thoughts on how you actually reach the people who are out there causing this violence who aren't watching these messages on the news?
Jamal, do you want to talk about social media?
It's a great question. It's a big problem. A lot of people don't know who their, you know, alderman is or who their state representative is, and they're not watching the news right now. So we need to meet them where they're at. So what we've been doing is standing in front of businesses that have been being looted and just, you know, protesting peacefully and just leading with love. So when the young people approach, we know how to talk to them because we work with them already. And how you doing? Hey, we don't want you looting in your own neighborhood, and that helps. So we need more community leaders to post up on your block, post up in your neighborhood, and post up somewhere. And just when the young people come, just let them know there's ways to direct that or channel that energy towards something positive.
Tori, thank you, Jamal.
Thanks, Jamal. In addition to that, there are several summer job initiatives that are going on right now. You have over 30,000 young people who are being paid starting July 1st, but we're already engaging those young people. And so go to your Zoom, have chat meetings with your young people. Don't wait until July 1st. Start it right now. If you have a hold on your young people, you can get to those young people right now.
Thank you. Yes. Vince from Channel 2.
Yeah, the question is from Vince of Channel 2 and it's directed for the department.
All right, Cardinal.
Thank you.
Cardinal, Vince wants to know, beyond prayer, what role can our churches play in righting the wrongs of racial discrimination?
So the question is, beyond prayer, what can religious leaders do to ease the separation?
I think a number of ways. We're already active in this. Right now, of course, many of our parishes are suffering like the rest of the community just in the food distribution that has been disrupted because of the looting and the violence. And so we're going to continue to that, talking to some of the pastors in the places. We want to make sure that people have access in this time of the pandemic just for basic needs for food. The other is, I've always believed that one of the greatest anti-poverty and also equalizers in society is our educational program that we have in the Catholic Church. We have nearly 200 schools. Many of the people that we educate are not Catholic, and we do so because it's part of our mission to give people an opportunity for the future. We have a very high graduation rate. We also look for ways in which they can go on to college and be productive citizens. So we're going to continue to do that, but we also need to be advocates, as I've said here today. We need to raise our voice so that there really are policies and legislation that's passed that helps people today, and that is an important witness that we offer.
Also, why would I address that question as well?
Our churches are already feeding and clothing and seeing about the elderly. We do all kinds of community things. We're trying to make sure that we can connect our youth with youth in the street so that those youth can receive some of the kind of teaching that we're teaching in our churches. And we're finding ourselves working in health care, seeing about mental health, because some people that are in the street that have been there a long time and homeless and not having things are going through mental stress. And so there's a lot of mental things that we're dealing with, working with Grand Prairie Services and with other people to make sure that we can give mental care as well. So we're not just inside the walls, but our community is really blessed to have so many churches that are doing outreach.
A couple of weeks ago, we were at the Greater Chicago Food Depository, and to speak to what both the Cardinal and Apostle White said, many of our distribution sites for the Greater Chicago Food Depository are religious institutions, so we're very grateful to them. And Cardinal, as you know, I taught in public, private, and parochial schools, and I want to thank the Archdiocese for its investment in our young people of all religions. Yes?
I have a question from Vanessa Navarrete from UC Young. In the past 24 hours or so, we've seen this escalate. We are seeing tensions rise between black and brown communities, not just social media, with very real threats, but also out in the streets with guns and bats involved. What do you make of this, and are you prepared for a race war? What can be done to prevent this escalating violence, seeing as how the looting is continuing? Are you planning anything different in terms of policing today?
First of all, the county has a very small police force, and that police force serves 100,000 people in unincorporated Cook County. So, and that's, we're very grateful, actually. I know that the sheriff's police were in Berwyn and Cicero and Maywood, because I talked to local unit of government leaders this morning around our emergency operation efforts. And they expressed their appreciation to the Sheriff's Police and the Illinois State Police for their support for local law enforcement officials. Frankly, that's all I know about, and that's all I'm prepared to speak to. Now, Nick, do you have other people on the line here?
And if one more question.
Yes.
For the governor. But
excuse me, could you wait? Could you wait just a minute? We've got a question here with us, and then we'll take the questions on the phone. Governor?
Reform, our state representative for Hyde Park is calling for specific action reform. Would you consider calling a special session of the General Assembly to address?
The question is, would the governor call a special session to talk about police reform?
As you know, I've been reluctant to call a special session as the governor because it really is the legislature in this time of COVID-19 that needs to agree that they need to get together, because otherwise you'll have many representatives, senators who won't show up because there's frankly fear of getting together in these large groups. Now, they've proven that they can, and so that's encouraging. There's no doubt about it. But I will say this, that what's very important to me is that we establish an agenda that's led in part by the very peaceful protesters that are out on the streets that were there protesting last night, the night before, and the night before. The folks who are there with legitimate grievance, the things that I was talking about when I stood here just moments ago. So we do need to make reform, and I am in favor of doing things on a statewide basis and also encouraging change in the city of Chicago and municipalities across the state.
Governor Pritzker there. You've been listening to a news conference with faith leaders and government leaders as well in Cook County and across the state in response to the days of protests and violence in the city of Chicago and growingly in the suburbs as well. Cardinal Supich saying that the signpost solidarity will not do, that this is a time for real action and real outreach.